is us set up. Good morning and welcome. We seem to be a bit low this morning, are we, or is it just me?
Right number.
Okie doke. We'll pray and then we'll start. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning, for the weather such as it is, a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of rain, lots of heat. Thank you, Lord, for each of the heads that are bowed this morning in your presence. And I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon each one of us. And Lord, of course, we're mindful of those that's not here. I'm thinking Pat and Steve and Esther and Frank. And pray that you be with them too, with our brothers and sisters across the world. And pray for Stan and the folks up in Bangor, especially for Stan's health at this time. Lord, just watch over us and keep us, I pray. And use this time as a time just to deliver us our daily spiritual bread. Love you and praise you, and pray that your will be done, Lord. Please lead us and guide us through the service and the songs that are lifted up and the prayers and the praises and the tithes and the offerings and the preaching and the teaching and the fellowship, Lord, would be acceptable in your sight. Please, Lord, speak to souls, not just here, but across the world. Please save lost souls, Lord, and please, even in these dark days, edify the saints. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. I'm going to begin with, I think it's 162 in the big books. 162 is "To God Be the Glory." 162. If you'd like to take your hymn books and turn.
Jesus the Son, and give him
glory, great things he had done.
Amen. I'll put those ones away for a minute or two and take the wee hymn books out and go to number two. We had a request for this blessed old book. We're going to sing about it and then we're going to be reading about it very, very shortly. Hymn number two in the wee black books, this blessed old book. Amen.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I've found to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Thank you. All right, Norman, if you're good to read for us, you can come on ahead.
Amen.
Morning's reading is from the book of James, James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth of all men liberally and unbraided, not that it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flowers of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, that it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, the great the fashion of it perished, So also shall the rich man be fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, and we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and doeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen.
I take it that was the one that Brother Steve suggested in your direction. Amen. James, the first, a lot of very, very good verses there. I like the one where it talks about every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amongst many others, of course. But amen. Good verses. Well, it's that time of the service again. Does anybody have any extra prayer requests to add to those that are already? I know you probably haven't even had time to look at them, but has anything happened over the last few days that you would maybe need a wee bit of prayer about, that you'd like to share about? If not, if you want to cast your eyes over the private prayer requests, if your name is there or isn't there and you want it there, if there's any changes, let us know. No changes. Amen. Maybe a wee taste of oil in that would sort of be a bit of a change in that one. Amen. I think that's about that. Still lots to pray about as far as our leaders and our countries go. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and we do need to be praying about that. But don't be disheartened if souls that you are praying for do not change, because some people in the world God has just done with. He has worked on their hearts for so long, but they're just determined. He has given them over to a reprobate mind. Just don't get disheartened. Just keep your eyes on him, and know that whenever you see the great falling away, and whenever you see countries fighting with each other, and all these things, the Bible says to look up. Don't be looking on these things and dwelling on these. It says to look up. It says, for your redemption draweth nigh. So keep your eyes on the Lord. I know it's difficult times. And we're continuing to pray for you, Taylor and Christy, and your family at this time, your dad and the folks back in the States. And we will continue to pray for them and for yourselves. And we know Taylor's traveling in the next week, isn't it? So she's going back to America, so please do pray for her as she travels, that things would go smoothly. And Christy too, as he hopefully joins her a week later. Unless, of course, we get to doing a lot of shooting and hunting and you forget the time passing. I'm only joking about that. Amen. I know what Monica's like when I'm not there. So I can appreciate, Taylor wanting you to be there too. Okay, that's, if there's anything else that you want to add, let us know before the end of the service. We'll write it in. If it's not written down, as some famous man once said, it never happened. So make sure it gets written down if there's anything like that. Well, would you pray for us, please, if you would, brother?
In the thought, Lord, for bearing us safely into your house today, Lord. We offer up our Lord and display your power and display your holy will, Lord. And touch your hearts, Lord, from the book of the word that's been divided by Mark Park, and the touch of the Spirit, Lord, or judge our souls, Lord, and encourage us and keep us within your bounds, Lord, and within your love, Lord. The facts of God, Lord, now, Lord, bless them and keep them as he's a wise man, pray for them and keep them as well, Lord. Your Frank, Mr. Upton, Lord, keep safe, secure, in June, mercy, and love, and trouble as well, Lord. You've saved Stephen Carl and John, Lord, save their souls, Lord. You've answered, help our Lord, and our condition, Lord, take away our pain, our finger, our stomach, Lord, and stop any lymphoma coming back to you, Lord, and bless us and keep us safe and well, Lord. And with Pat and Steve, Lord, if they shared diabetes, Lord, help, Lord, you just the effects of it, Lord, help Steve and his families, to them both, Lord, and provide them and give them some rest, right, Lord, and bring us safe and like one time to you, press that, hopefully tonight, Lord, as well, Lord. And for John Bradfield, for him as his blood pressure, Lord, help him and keep him, Lord, heal him, Lord, provide him and keep him safe, Lord. With us in the world, Lord, and with the people in the flood, whether it's in China, whether it's in Europe, whether it's throughout the world, Lord, that you might, and also the earthquakes in Haiti, Lord, and all natural disasters, Lord, that you might save the man, woman, and children, Lord, in that conditions, and Lord, save their souls, Lord, primarily as well, Lord, that that's the word they stand throughout the world, Lord. Give wisdom to our leaders, Lord, bring them to them those as they need to come to the full of cross and make that decision to follow Jesus, Lord, and save their souls, Lord. And Lord, give us this day, Lord, provide for us and give us, Lord, to find fair, good thing, every good work you've given us, especially salvation on the cross, Lord. Jesus Christ, amen.
Thanks, Lord. Okay, let's take our big hymn books again, if you would. I think we are going to 149 this morning. 149 is Trust in Jesus. Amen. We'll remain seated as we sit.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth the Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine, while He leads I cannot fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger foreign call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus. Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Amen. Skip to the black book again. It's like musical hymn sheets this morning. And hymn number 29, if you'd like to stand whilst we sing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. After this, I will give you and your vocal cords a break for a little bit. Amen. Don't know if it'll be as pleasant, but we'll bring the message after this one. Verses 3.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my strength is almost gone, hear my cry. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Though the night be long, in my heart there's a song. I will praise Thee while night shall last. Be my guide by Thy side, I will stay. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Amen. Well, if you would like to take your Bibles and turn to the book of John this morning, reading in John chapter 8. And I'd like to bring a few thoughts this morning on what we consider to be the most important thing in the world. Or the most important thing in the world and how it affects you. That's what I have written as my title for this morning. John chapter 8, and I've got about 28 or 29 verses to read. John chapter 8, beginning at verse number 31. John chapter 8. Beginning at verse number 31. Amen. Let's begin. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, the man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Amen. There are so many verses there that prompted the title this morning, but verse number 50 is the one that really sums it all up, where the Lord says, and I seek not mine own glory. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of the most important thing in the world and how it affects us. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer and then we will continue. Christy, if you would, brother, would you lead us, please?
In his service, I pray that you'd feed Mark even at this time, Lord, so that he can feed us, Lord, through your word this morning. Give Holy Ghost power and strength, Lord, wisdom, Lord, compassion, grace, strength, Lord, and boldness. I ask that you would give discernment, Lord, amongst each of the hearers here, Lord, and those that would listen online, that, Lord, needs to be met, Lord, that this would be a life-changing service for many today. Lord, we ask that you'd be with our absent brethren, Lord, give them a touch, Lord, those that are downcast and sick, and Lord, fighting battles and weary, pray, Lord, for strengthening and encouraging as well, Lord, please. Be with Frank and London, Lord, and Leonard as well. Be with him. Lord, we pray for missionaries today. Would you provide their needs, protect and inform lands with all that's going on in the world as well. We ask and pray for common sense for world leaders, Lord, for a hindering of them, Lord, when they try to go against what would hinder your will, Lord, in this world. We ask, Lord, for the saving of our family members and friends, Lord, who don't yet know you. Please, Lord, use whatever it takes. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Amen. This is what some might refer to as a somewhat dry portion of the Word of God, and many times I have discovered whenever we read the old King James Bible that the sentences are very, very long, and you have to have your wits about you to be reading. But to cut a long story short, I want to spend a little bit of time on thinking about the most important things in the world. A very quick run through just the verses that we read this morning. I want to begin at verse number 31 again, and I want to remind you of the promises of God. Now, thankfully we have had God walking amongst us, and we have his quoted words here faithfully recorded and passed on for nearly 2,000 years. A lot of people would say that, oh, but surely the meaning of these would have changed over the years. But people are well aware, those that love the Lord and those that are concerned about lost souls are well aware about the dangers not only of changing, of adding to or taking away from the Word of God, but that the very power of God should be just passed on as it is and not meddled with, not mucked about with, just passed on as it is. And the Lord said, continue in my word. And this is an ongoing theme, and you'll read it not just in, you'll read it in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John towards the back of the Bible, is continuing on in God's word. There is not a feeling to continue on in, and there's not a state of mind to continue on in, and there's not an organization to continue on in. We are supposed to continue on in God's word. It's God's word that has the power of salvation, and every single thing that we know about God comes from God's word, and it is in there not only to start your life, but to also live your life and to complete your life and step off into the next life, into eternal life, and it's all in here. It's not going to be found. I'm not going to tell you how to get saved here, and then you'll have to go to Ebrington Presbyterian Church to learn how to tithe or how to live your life or how to treat people the way a Christian does. It's all in the Word of God. And Jesus says, if you continue on in my word, then you'll be my disciple. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll be a disciple of Jesus if you just keep obeying the commandments. That's not the way it works. You need to be saved. You must be born again. He said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus popped up another time in our Bible reading and our Bible studies, you have to be born again. And then you obey God's commands. And then you will be God's disciple. There are many Christians, not Christians, there are many saved souls in this world that are not God's disciples, are actually actively working against the Word of God because they haven't continued in the Word of God. And it's not just some poor unfortunate in the Catholic Church or in the Charismatic or the Methodist or the Church of Ireland or the Presbyterian Church. It can be any soul that's saved if they don't get a grip on God's Word and hold tight. You can be cast adrift and not even know that you're miles away from that solid rock, and until you maybe come across someone that is on the solid rock, or someone calls out to you, or the Word of God convicts you and points you back in the proper direction. The Lord says, continuing on in my word will set you free. And not only will it set you free, it'll set you free indeed. I remember an old physics lecturer who was talking about atomic particles. And he was referring to some of these things move at close to the speed of light. And he was referring to a friend of his who had commented about some of these particles are fast and some of them are very fast indeed. As if that adds an extra dimension of speed to it. But the Lord says, he will set you free indeed. Super free. That doesn't mean free to just sit on your rear end and watch TV all day. Anybody knows that that is no way to live your life. The Lord loved to create, and he created everything, and that's in us to create and to build and to accomplish and to obtain satisfaction in it, because We are made in the image of God, and we need to keep going. God sets us free from the bondage of sin. God sets us free from the fear of death. God sets us free from an empty, directionless, purposeless, and powerless life. He sets us free from the broad road that leads to destruction to the straight and narrow road that leads to life. He sets us at the very start of it, and it's entirely up to us how far along we want to go. And God goes on to talk here about religious people. And it's a sad thing that not just religious people, but the very religious people that were tasked with conveying the word of God down the generations, these were his greatest opponents. These were the ones that he had the harshest words to say about. He called them hypocrites. He called them liars. He called them the children of your father, the devil. He called them some of the greatest promoters of false religion, saying about how they'd go on these great missions journeys and to make one disciple, and then whenever they did, they'd make him twice the son of perdition, or words to that effect that they were themselves. God said, it doesn't matter who your granddad was, it matters who your father is. And he went on at great length here to say just those very words. And one of the greatest problems that they have is their own glory and their own importance and their own power. And Jesus said that he wasn't come for his own glory. He was come to bring glory to God. And that's really what it's all about. Now, I like the last wee bit. And if you read verse number 58, you will see the expression of Christ's immortality, of God's immortality, when he says about Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. Does anyone remember whenever he was in the garden and the soldiers came to arrest him? And he said, are you the Christ? And he said, I am. He actually pronounced his name and they fell backwards. That's the very power of God. I like that. That's Jesus saying, look, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I never change. Just like those verses that Norman was reading in James chapter 1. This is the God of lights in whom is no shadow of variableness or turning. I like that. And that means the same God that was keen to travel here, there, and everywhere 2,000 years ago will meet anybody anywhere and save their soul just exactly the same. I got to thinking, and sometimes don't ask me how my mind comes to these conclusions or comes to these titles or these thoughts, about the most important thing in the world as I had these two examples in front of me. Men that were determined to keep promoting this false religion in the face of the true religion and undefiled again, which Norman mentioned in the book of James this morning. And I just sat down and had a wee think and put down a few notes. And I would like to share these with you this morning. The most important thing in the world, not necessarily to you, but to people in general. And the first one I came up with is the one that's closest to my heart. No, me, not computers. It's me. The most important thing in the world to many people is just themselves. And I would say the past year and a half has probably been one of the most damaging things for people's egos, because they have been taught to think about nothing but themselves for the past year and a half. Oh, look out for your health. Look out for your security. Here's money so that you can keep your house over your head and you don't have to do any work. And it's all me, 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 me. And as we have found in the last few months, many people don't want to go back to work because they're too well looked after and they've been lulled into this false sense of security and comfort. This pride that people have, these feelings, these desires that, and even opinions, if you want to call it, to me, those are pretty much all the same. And one little phrase that I really detest is my truth. It's not truth. That's just your opinion or how you feel on any given way. And people are quite literally prepared to sacrifice everything for those things. For being right. Just to be able to say that I'm right and you're wrong, even whenever in many, many cases they are spectacularly and apocalyptically wrong. I have seen people chuck families to one side. Or let's put it another way. I have seen people throw every sort of relationship on the altar of me. I've seen families go on the altar of me and jobs go on the altar of me. Even people's health go on the altar of me. And many times other people's lives on to the altar of me. Just as long as they can say that I'm right. Even in the face, these men, even in the face of all the things that Jesus had done. And if you were to read on into chapter 9, one of the most spectacular examples of the obtuseness and anti-Christianity of modern day religion, whenever the Lord saved the man that was blind from birth, from his blindness, and they abjectly refused to admit that God could have done this, even in the face of a miracle that had never been carried out before. They will kill you. They will do anything to stop the truth getting into their ears. As long as they get to say, see, I was right. I've killed him. I've stopped him. I've shut him up. I'm right. And that's all that counts. They do say that pride is a terrible thing. And the old saying is, pride goeth before a fall. It's actually a wee bit longer than that, and it involves the words a haughty spirit as well. But none of those things are things that should be found in a Christian. I've heard of the term bonfire of vanities, and that is quite literally what living a life that's all about me is. It's a bonfire of everything stupid, everything foolish, and everything self-destructive. It's destructive. But you know what? There's a lot of people sitting around toasting marshmallows and making s'mores on that bonfire of vanities, because they enjoy that as long as I am the most important thing in the world. Another one I am sure you can, it's at the end of 1 Timothy, is money. When money is the most important thing in the world. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, it tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. While some having coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And the number of things that people will do in the pursuit of money would, I would say, would make your jaw drop, but I'm sure we're all long enough in the tooth and we've watched enough TV to see and to hear and to maybe even have some personal experience of the things that people will do for money. What would you do for money? And a lot of people would say, I would work 40 plus hours a week to have enough money to pay my bills and to feed me and to have a few quid aside for whatever it is that I want to do. But if you were to go a mile or two from here and speak to people as you walk through the streets, what would you do for money? If people were being genuinely honest, you will find that people will sell their bodies for money. People will sell their integrity for money in these big businesses. How many have we come across just of late, just in the past couple of years, that will sell every last vestige of truth and honesty and integrity for money? People will they'll just cast their relationships and family aside for money. They will literally become almost a recluse. They will throw away good manners and an upstanding character for money. They will even throw away their life and their health in the pursuit of money. Inch by inch. If you said to them at the very start, if you keep on going in order to get, say, your fortune, you're going to throw away your family, you're going to destroy your children, your health will be just torn apart, even your mind, would you do it? They would say no. But just like pride and me first, All these things come along and steal away inch by inch all those things that are really valuable. The one that we looked at here as well with the Lord is false religion. A lot of people will do a lot for false religion. Every religion in the world except Bible-believing Christianity is a false religion. There is falsehood in it. There are things in it that are designed to keep levels of people in charge over the laity. The Lord said in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 how he hates these hierarchies of people that are set up to rule like kings and princes over Joe Public. But we have seen through the years, and maybe we've experienced a little bit more up close and personal, the effects that false religion can actually have on societies. Across the border, what about 21, 22 years ago, I was watching RTE, RTE1 and RTE2 after coming home from church. I've shared this with you before. On what should have been one of the most faithful, Christ-based countries in the world. The world actually stops for the man that brought the faith of the Jesus Christ of the Bible to the land. Made it the land of saints and scholars. The devil did his very best with false religion to utterly turn that on his head and turn the man that hated alcohol and all forms of sin into a reason for people to go out to get drunk and do drugs and whatever else they do on St. Patrick's Day. He would be turning in his grave. But Roman Catholicism has managed to do a bang-up job. Not only that, if you were to read in Revelation 17 and 18, you will see the power that the Roman Catholic Church has, and we're just taking this as one form of false religion, but it has a certain title. It's called the Mother of Harlots, the Roman Catholic Church. So who are the harlots? Well, basically every church that came out of the Roman Catholic Church, every church that took a step or two away from it, but didn't pull on its running shoes and start a marathon run in the opposite direction. Many people have shown themselves willing to sacrifice everything for their religion. In fact, many religions demand it. One of the things that a false religion will do will not countenance any questions. They will say that if anybody that you know is not involved also in this false religion, that you should shun them completely. Whereas the God of the Bible says to go and preach the gospel to every creature. People are willing to sacrifice themselves, their families, their fortunes, their health, everything. As long as that false religion keeps going. And sometimes as long as they get their place at the top of the pile. Many will sacrifice every last vestige of what is good and proper to keep that going. And you know what? That's no bother. It's no bother to the person for whom false religion is the most important thing in the world. And whenever we talk about false religion, there's always one woman that comes to my mind, and that's Mother Teresa. A wee nun. I think she died in her 80s over in India. Ministering to the poor, gave her whole life, everything, to do good deeds, to work her way to heaven. I wonder if she was told that those good deeds never got her any closer to heaven than someone climbing up a ladder tried to get closer to the moon. I wonder would she still have done those things. False religion has destroyed and stolen the lives of many, many souls. In fact, every soul that has put their faith in it. I know to some people, it's all about sensation and pleasure, thrills, entertainment, drugs, whatever it is that floats your boat, or as my mum used to say, that flies your kite. And we know from the guy that sits under the bridge, drowning his sorrows and blinding his mind to all of his cares and worries and alcohol or whatever else, that is the some meaning of your life. Everything has gone just to blank out the world. And the pursuit of that is no way to live. Everything gone. I've heard stories of a doctor or a solicitor that started on alcohol, ended up under the bridge. Spent his life living for drink. Threw away a career, a family, children. Threw away his health and his sanity just for drink. And that is no way to live. And even though that is just alcohol that we're talking about, drugs is the same. Even this no fear. And someone should put in the back no sense. The number of people that have died doing stupid things, trying to get a jag of adrenaline flooding through their veins. But then again, these things are just not that important when the most important thing in your life is getting high. I like the verse that, and we already mentioned it, that Norman mentioned about that true religion and undefiled. The only time in the whole Bible where the word religion is used in its proper and its good sense. True religion and undefiled doesn't demand anything from you. We're talking about Bible-believing Christianity. In fact, on the way in, the only way into it is to accept something from the leader of it. To accept his son as your savior. Because he has already done all the work of salvation, as we well know. The only way into it is to accept the forgiveness of sin. And for that you get the assurance of life. Life eternal. You're set free indeed. You can have the peace that passeth all understanding. You can have power and purpose. God's provision, wisdom, his protection, the ministrations of angels. You can have a friend closer than a brother. You can have an intercessor that never stops fighting your corner. You can have a loving father that gave everything so that you could give everything of his, so that you could have everything of his. So that your soul could be saved. A loving father that loves to hear from you. He loves you so much that he can't actually take his eyes off of us. And he always has an ear open to us. A God that created everything, that needs nothing. The only thing that he even asks for is that we tithe. 1/10, not everything. He's so far above us as the clouds are above the earth, there is nothing that we have that isn't his already. The only thing that pleases God is obedience, is broken and a contrite heart. And he says, put me first. He doesn't say, put me first and I will take everything that you own. He says, put me first and I will take everything that you own and put it in its proper place. I will put your wife or your husband in their proper place. I will put your children in their proper place. I will put your friends in your proper place. I will put your money in its proper place. I will put your belongings in their proper place. But put me first, and I will show you how to do everything right. I will free you from the things that will destroy you. And the God that cannot lie, we've already mentioned here, the God that cannot lie will make sure that you will have a life worth living. And that whenever you look back on it, and I don't necessarily mean at the end of a long life, at the potential end of a life, when you look back, the only thing that will comfort you will be the bits of your life that you give to God. The leaflets put through a door, the church services that you sat in, the time that you spent in prayer, the time that you spent in God's word, the times when just out of the ordinary God said, go and do that, and you went and did it. It is those things that will comfort you. Not your favorite TV show. Not the amount of money that you have in the bank. And not the number of friends you have waving at you through the windows in the hospital ward. It's the time you spent with Jesus. There's a great problem that mankind has with pride. And it's been injected into every single one of us from an early age for generations. And so when it comes to the notion of being a servant, of learning, of obeying, almost immediately we are predisposed to get up on our high horse and say, "Who do you think you are?" For me, being a child of the King of Kings was the greatest gift that I ever got. Being a son of God. But one of the greatest titles that I could ever aspire to was one of the greatest compliments that God ever gave to any man. And I want to read them from Joshua 1. I've got about 5 verses. Joshua 1 and 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give up to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee." And the great I Am that made that promise to Moses and Joshua, doesn't speak to us face to face, but he loves to hear from us. And he loves to speak to us. Someday we will get to see him face to face. But if God, the God of the King James Bible and the full counsel of it, is the most important thing in your life, and you are prepared to take direction from him, things will work out for the best for you. You might not earn a fortune. You might not get incredible good looks or an Arnold Schwarzenegger physique. That only maybe would make half of the congregation happy, but you will be a servant of the King of Kings, not a slave to sin or addiction or lust, but a servant to the King of Kings. And I want to tell you something today. The King of Kings looks after his servants. Our Father in heaven loves and wants to give all good things to his children. So I would call upon you today, if you haven't done so already, that you would make Jesus the King of your life. And whenever he calls, just like little Samuel, say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Here am I." Amen. Thank you for your good attention. God bless you. Now, did I sing all the songs that everybody picked? Okie doke. Just wanting to make sure. Hymn number 259 will be our closing hymn this morning. 259 is "Jesus Saves." If you'd like to stand as we sing, make a joyful noise.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Walked it on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Till the Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Let's pray and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for loving us, for watching over us, for the freedoms that we still have. I pray you, Lord, for those men, even in Northern Ireland, that have already been arrested by the police for preaching your word, and Lord, for the strength to be up and at them and doing that again. Lord, look after our missionaries for the Christian Institute, for Kids for Schools, and the people out in Tanzania, for Francis Cosgrave, Lord, for all the many men and women that have put you first in their lives and have struck out into foreign lands to bring the gospel to the lost. Please, Lord, even now, save souls and edify the saints. Please see us safely home. Please, Lord, I pray you straighten our paths as we go. Please look after us as we travel, and especially Taylor as she travels, Lord, this coming week.